ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मचर्यतो वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम इन ऑर्डर टू गिव द विजन ऑफ नॉन ड्युअलिटी ऑफ द रियलिटी इन सद्वैत प्रकरणम गौडपाद आचार्य सो इन ऑर्डर टू गिव द विजन ऑफ नॉन ड्युअलिटी ऑफ द रियलिटी He presents the fact of the reality being distinct from the cause and the effect. So, in order to say that truth, reality is distinct from the cause and the effect, we have to understand that reality is not the cause, which means there is no creation at all. If there is a creation, and the creation must have come from into existence from something, which means that that something from which the creation has come into existence becomes the cause. Therefore, here the reality is not the cause, which means nothing has come into existence from creation, the reality. Neither the jiva nor the jagat is a product of the reality. There is no creation, there is no srishtihi of the jiva or jagat. That he is establishing from verse number, the karika number 3. We've been seeing this. Now, until the 14th karika, he established logically and also scripturally how jiva is not created. Jiva is only, jiva is nothing but consciousness. It's only a status given to the same consciousness, obtaining in an individual mind. We understood that. And also, the jagat also is not created. That using the adhyaropa apavada prakriya, he also establishes jagat being not the creation. Jagat being not the creation, jagat being only the manifestation. So that logically he establishes jagat being the manifestation, not the creation. Through that prakriya, we saw last class, adhyaropa apavada prakriya, as we saw. So, adhyaropaha involves two steps and apavadaha involves two steps. Adhyaropaha is superimposition and apavadaha is negation. Which means you take the whole jagat as the karyam. Of course, jagat is, first see the jagat as the karyam. Because what is experienced by us, what is available for our understanding, our perception, our experience is for us the karyam, the creation. Creation or a product, the effect. The whole jagat is an effect. You take it as an effect because that is what you know. You are not able to see more than what your eyes are able to see. And the purpose of Upanishad, the aim of the Upanishad is to help us see more than what our eyes can see, isn't it? More than our intellect, more than what we can see intellectually, and also physically. Which means, this, take this jagat as karyam, as an effect. And this is the adhyaropa, step one. When you see this karyam, and from the karyam, you move on to karanam. What is the... Because karyam means... Karyam is always non-separate from the karanam. Inseparable from the karanam. In effect is inseparable, non-separate from the cause. Like pot, the effect is inseparable, non-separate from its cause, the clay. Similarly here, jagat is non-separate from its karanam. From the karanam. What is the karanam? That which lends existence to the effect. Isn't it? The karanam. So we say, okay, Brahman is the karanam. You see the Brahman as the karanam. So Brahman, the limitless reality is the cause of this universe. Then when you see, take the pot, from the pot, when you shift your attention from the Namarupa pot, the effect, to its cause, the clay out of which the pot is made, then you say, the attention alone is drawn, isn't it? Your attention is taken from the Namarupa pot to the clay. Then you say, clay alone, no? The entire pot effect is nothing but clay. When you say the clay, no, there is no, you have to ask this, is there a pot? Is there a name and form pot independently, apart from, outside of the clay, its cause? When you ask this, then you search for the pot all over the pot. You find only the clay. Clay, clay, everywhere clay. Wherever you go around the pot, you find only the clay. Which means, then you say, that there's no pot. Okay? There's no pot. The negation comes, this is the first step. Is taking the pot as a karyam is the first step. A discovering the clay as the karanam is the second step. Now, you have given the karanam status to the clay, isn't it? This is what, first accepting the effect is what now? Adhyaropa, number one. Then, second is, giving the causal status to the clay is what? Adhyaropa, step two. Then, apavada, step one is what? You say, there is no karyam, there is no pot, there is no pot. Clay alone is, isn't it? When you say clay alone is, there is no pot, that is negation of the effect is the apavada, step one. When you say clay alone is, there is no pot, then you say, therefore, if there is no effect, if there is no negation of the effect is the first step. If there is no effect, then you have to say what? The clay also is not the cause. If there is no effect, mean how can you talk about the cause? Cause of what? When you say there is no effect, where is the cause? So, causal status, clay is there, but the causal status attributed to the clay is negated. So, negation of the effect, step one. Negation of the status of being the cause, no? The causal status attributed to the clay is also negated. Is it? The second step. Then what you understand? Clay alone appears as, the pot is an appearance of the clay. You added what? Non-duality. Non-duality of the reality with reference to the clay pot. Similarly here also, the whole Jagat is seen as an effect. And from here you say, Jagat Karanam Brahma. You give the status of being the cause of the universe, Brahman. You attribute this causal status to Brahman. They say, Jagat Karanam Brahma. Thereafter, if you see, is there Jagat apart from, independent of Brahman? If you say no, therefore you negate the Jagat as what? Jagat being the effect. The effect, the status of being the effect is negated. So the karyam is not there. Brahman alone is. There is no Jagat. Thereafter you say, if Brahman alone is, there is no Jagat karyam. There is no Jagat karyam. There is only Brahman. Then you have to say what now? Brahmanaha karanatvam api, what now? You have to negated. The status of being the cause attributed to Brahman is also negated, which is apavadaha, negation, step 2. And finally you arrive at, the whole Jagat is nothing but appearance of Brahman. Manifestation of Brahman. Is this a Brahman alone is. They're not two. You arrive at it. This is what we saw last class. Thereafter, from 15th Karika onwards, this fact of the entire Jagat being manifestation of the reality wherein the knower known duality, cause effect duality is resolved for good, resolved, and with the support of the scriptures, he is establishing the jagat being, not the creation. From 15th karika onwards, we saw last class two karikas, I think. Yeah. So, if the fact is, the non-reality is, reality alone is, reality is non-dual, secondless, the entire, all that is here is, the knower is Brahma, knowledge is Brahma, the known is Brahma, all that is here is only Brahma Satyam, and is the entire Jagat, what is here is only Mithya, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. So, Jagat Mithya means what? Mithya is as good as non-existent, Brahman alone Asti. Jeevopi Brahmaiva na aparaha, Jagadapi Brahmaiva na aparam. It is something not separate from Brahma. This is the fact you arrive at. Then the question comes, if everything is Brahma, it is only non-dual reality, then what is this karma for? What is this upasanam for? Why there is something called upasanam? Upasanam, here should take it as, you can say meditation or worship also is upasanam, because in worship also, mind is involved, isn't it? You relate to Bhagavan, Paramatma. There is a Jiva Ishvara, Bedaha has to be maintained, you know, in worship and prayer. Worship means a karma. Prayer means it's a karma. Performance of ritual means a karma. In any karma, there must be doership, there must be enjoyership, and there must be performed and the performer, offerer and the offering, meditator and the meditated. This division must be there, duality must be there. So what is this upasanam for? What is this meditation for? What is this worship for? What is this prayer for? So that, no, which means, even though the fact is established, ultimately this is the vision of the fact, absolute fact, isn't it? What is perceived need not be denied, need not be, no, refused, but can be accepted, but still you have to see beyond our perception what is fact absolutely. Even though we see the sunrise in the east and sunset in the west, we know there is no rising and setting of the sun. Isn't it? Even though people say that, it looks as though the sun rises. Really, it is not there. Similarly, what is perceived is what? Perception can be retained, but vision of the fact beyond perception has to be really arrived at. So here also, what is this upasanam, meditation, etc., the upasanam, worship, etc. for? That is explained in the 16th karika. Ashramaha, let's see the reason. Ashramas trividha hina madhyamot krishta drishtayaha. Trividha hina madhyamot krishta drishtayaha. Upasanopadishteyam
Upasanopadishteyam
Tadarthamanukampaya
Tadarthamanukampaya.
So ashramaha in the verse number 16 means seekers, sadhakaha. The word ashramaha means sadhakaha. So sadhakaha, seekers, people who are given, people of all ashramas are seekers. No? Moksha, pursue, people who pursue the moksha, pursue jnanam. Such people who are given to the pursuit of jnanam and moksha, such people who are still sadhakaha, those sadhakas, are of different levels. All the sadhaka, no sadhaka is superior, no sadhaka is inferior. We have to be very careful here. Sadhakaha, a seek, no sadhaka is superior, no sadhaka is inferior. But sadhaka, still sadhakas are of three different levels. Now some are highly uttama adhikaranaha, some are mediocre madhyama adhikaranaha, some are adama adhikaranaha, means some are ready for jnanam, Some have yet to become prepared for jnanam. Some are not yet started. No? Some are still, they have a long wait to go. Therefore, he says, adhikarinaha heena madhyama utkrishtayaha. Heena adhikarinaha means what now? Adama adhikarinaha. Madhyama adhikarinaha means no, mediocre adhikarinaha. Utkrishta adhikarinaha. Now, exalted adhikaris, the prepared minded. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampadnaha, sadhana chatushtaya, no, sampatihi who had to attain, and there are people who have not yet, no, have yet to really practice a lot, who have to, no, who have yet to grow. It's like, no, the newborn baby, and some are, no, some children are quite grown up children, and some are grown up adults, like that. So here, upasana upadishta yam tadartham, for the sake of, no, for the sake of seekers of different levels, who have yet to become mentally prepared for knowledge, you know, for their purpose, anukampaya, out of compassion, these disciplines in terms of meditation, worship, prayer, karma, etc. have been prescribed in the Veda Shastram. Okay, upasana yam upadishta. This meditation is not meditation except involving duality. Meditator meditated duality. This discipline of meditation has been prescribed in the Shastram, you know, out of compassion for those people who have yet to become mentally prepared, who have yet to become qualified for this knowledge, this vision of this fact. It is not an ordinary vision, no? This is a fact. How 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 is a fact. You have no doubt about it. How water is H2O is a fact. How you have no doubt about it. How E is equal to MC squared is a fact. You have no doubt about it. All the metals are nothing but energy. You have no doubt about it. For any physicist, similarly, this is a fact. It's a fact what all that is here is only manifestation of only reality. This wish, this is a fact. And this is a subtlest fact, abstract fact, most abstract fact. And arriving at this fact, in fact, it is in the search of the human intellect, you know, should culminate in the vision of this fact, in fact. Accomplishing this fact, the very mind will resolve. Even the mind will resolve. No? Because what is that jnanam which will help the mind resolve? Manadi adiyodu odunga chehira jnanam idu. No? It is Advaitic vision in which the mind will resolve for good. That is why the mind is resolved for good means, again, there is no assumption of another body is not possible. Again, rebirth is not possible. Isn't it? That is called really Videha Mukti itself is in fact what now? Is in not assuming a body which is dependent on not the mind being not around, which means it should be resolved for good. For the mind to be resolved for good, it must be resolved cognitively in, you know, while you are alive in this body. Therefore, this is the fact, vision of this fact which makes the mind resolve. It is called absolute wisdom, absolute knowledge, because it is this which is going to liberate you from bondage. Therefore, actually the fundamental problem will resolve only in this wisdom. Because the smallness centered on I, the inadequacy centered on I, that is the problem. No, there's no problem other than sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. And that has to be resolved. The I has to be resolved. You have to see there is no I other than Paramatma. You have to see that there's no I. There's no wave other than water, which is a fact. There's no I. There's no knower other than consciousness, Brahma. There's no I other than Brahma. This is a fact. And this fact has to be seen. You have to resolve that I sense cognitively. Resolve everything cognitively. That is the only way you resolve the, in resolving the smallness, in resolving the inadequacy, you discover what? You resolve the inadequacy means you resolve the, you know, bondage, you see only fullness. Discover the fullness. Therefore, it is this wisdom, that is why this wisdom being so important, so thing, he says, but that's not an easily accomplishable, for which mind needs to be prepared. Therefore, for their sake, for the purpose of those, you know, evolution, for the preparation of such people, the Iyam Upasana Upadishta, which has been prescribed, that is said in the 16th verse. Let us go to 17th verse now. Now, from 17th and 18th, in these two verses, Gaudapada Acharya presents the problems, emotional problems, how people who are given to the acceptance of duality being the fact, or who are given to the acceptance of duality as the fact, who still undertake duality as the fact, such people, the consequences he is talking about. In the 17th and 18th karikas, he presents the emotional problem, how the acceptance of duality as a fact leads to the emotional problems, how they cannot help you resolve the emotional problems. And the 19th karika is going to say how acceptance of duality as a fact, the not being able to arrive at the non-duality being the fact, results in the logical problems involved in the perception of duality also is going to talk about in the 19th verse. First emotional problems, then logical and the problems. We'll see that. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. But here it has a little deviation. He discuss a few more things connected to the establishment of the Jagat being, no, not the creation. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu.
Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu.
Dvaiti no nischita dridham.
Dvaiti no nischita dridham.
Parasparam viruddhyante.
Parasparam viruddhyante.
Tairayam na viruddhyate.
Tairayam na viruddhyate.
Okay. He says, dvaitinaha, people, once duality is taken to be the fact, the reality, which means what? There'll be these problems, which means the truth is an object, truth becomes an object. If duality is the fact, the reality becomes an object, God becomes an object. Because reality is the God, there's no God, the Lord, other than the reality. If reality is an object, duality is a fact, means reality becomes an object. If reality is an object, means the God is an object. Then there's a worshipper-worshipped difference. Isn't it? When the worshipper-worshipped difference is there, then they see the God or they see the reality as, no, how? Then they make it object, means, and they perceive the object differently using their own instruments of perception. Using their own instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge, when they view God or reality, no, when they present the Lord or reality, God, as they view, and the different people having different instruments, and all of them have their own capacities, you know, intellectual capacity differs, the problems of the instruments may be involved, so that the truth, you know, they have different views. Different people can have different views, and each view differs from the view of every other person, means then it's only a view contention, it is not a fact. Okay, first thing, it is not a fact. fact is something which is one and the same for all the people, always, everywhere. Isn't it? So facts are beyond what now? Religious differences. Beyond the cultural differences. Beyond the social economic differences. Beyond all the differences. When you say water is H2O, which Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or African or an Indian or an Asian or a European, anybody in the world has to accept. Why? It is not different. It's a fact. The fact does not differ from person to person, but view differs from person to person. My view, your view, because we have different standpoints. From different angles we view. But fact, from anywhere, any view, any angle, any standpoint you see, fact is a fact, isn't it? It's not a view contention, not can't differ. Therefore, now this is Advaitam is a fact. And Advaitam will not be a fact, it will be a view. Duality will be? In duality, there will be only a view of the truth. There is no fact about the truth. Fact about the truth is different from view of the truth. I see the Lord in this form. I see Lord as this. I see the truth as this. I view this, not like this, we have different views. Therefore, this difference of opinion and views will be there, one problem. Then, once the difference of opinion or view is there, then we will be very adamant and argumentative in stating that what I see is more right than anybody else sees. And that's why mine is more correct than yours, which will lead to quarrels, misunderstandings. It can lead to even wars, religious wars. You can remember, we have very famous world wars, you know, and it can lead to, later on, what now, start with small argument in front of the temple doorstep, it will go to big wars and chaos later on, you know, and then people, what all we do, people do, you know that. So, that's why he says, and they will be very strong and adamant and very argument. That's what he says here. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. Swasiddhanta, not other siddhanta. Swasiddhanta. Their own conclusions and views, in their views in proving, in their views, they what now? Dvaitinaha nischitaha, dridam nischitaha means what? They're very firm, they're very confirmed. They will not change, they know there's no readiness to change their view. Let me, okay, it's my view, you say what your views. They won't be receptive. They will not listen to what others' views are. They'll be only firm in proving their view being the correct view. Okay. Then parasparam viruddhyante. But now everyone, you know, is opposed to every other view. Every view, the person of a given view is opposed to the person, people of a different views. So all of them differ and they're opposed to each other. If Sankhya says everything comes one to many, Nayaka will say no, everything comes from many to one. Okay? If you see, when the seed came first, or the tree came first, if you ask, both will be correct one way, from their own standpoints. But really speaking, that it is, these arguments will go on, that parasparam viruddhyante, they are opposed to each other, they are against each other, which means they cannot be together. Taihi, whereas, what about an Advaiti? So, Dvaitinaha parasparam viruddhyante. Dvaitinaha swasiddhanta vyavasthasu nididam nischitaha. What about an Advaiti? I am stands implies Advaiti here. Advaiti na viruddhyate. See, the person who is given to the vision of the fact of non-duality of the reality, that person is not, he is not against any view. They oppose any view. Now why? any view is acceptable for him from other person's standpoint. Any view for a dvaiti, other person's view is not acceptable. Whereas an advaiti, anybody's view is acceptable from his standpoint, but what is acceptable for an advaiti is not a fact, it is a view. He accepts that view, contention, as a contention from other person's standpoint. But he doesn't accept it as a fact. But the view he accepts from his standpoint. Understand? Suppose if our child says, no, I do see the sun rising in the east, means we do not go and argue with the child. Yes, you are correct. I also see the sunrise in the morning, sun rising in the east. I also see sun setting in the west. But you don't make, what now? There is a fact that the sun does not rise and set. Similarly here also, the views, no, based on the perception from given standpoint is acceptable. Do we deny the perception of sunrise and sunset? What should we deny? We accept the perception, but we understand the fact. Accepting the, isn't it? This is what this you get. This is what I am na viruddhyate. Because it can, now he's going to say next also. Advaitam paramartho hi.
Advaitam paramartho hi.
Dvaitam tad bheda ucchate.
Dvaitam tad bheda ucchate.
Tesham ubhayata dvaitam.
Tesham ubhayata dvaitam.
Tenayam na viruddhyate.
Tenayam na viruddhyate.
So here, Advaitam paramarthaha. Advaitam, the non-duality of the reality. You know, paramartha means it's an absolute reality. Okay? The reality being non-dual, or non-duality of the reality, is what now? Absolute reality. Advaitam is paramarthaha. The non-duality is an absolute reality, a fact. You can say dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. What about duality? Duality is only apparent, isn't it? Appearance of the bheda uchyate. Appearance of the non-duality. What is duality? The duality or plurality is nothing but appearance or manifestation of the non-dual reality. It's only apparent. Dvaitam is perceptual reality. Bheda uchyate, it's only perceptual reality, it's only empirical reality. It is an apparent reality. It's only relative reality, but non-duality is absolute reality. So what is absolutely real? What is paramarthikam satyam? What is vyavaharikam satyam? Dvaitam is not denied as non-existent. This duality, existent or not, if you say, is not unreal. Duality is not unreal. Duality is not non-existent at all. Duality is empirically real, mithya. But what about Advaitam? Advaitam is absolutely real. It's a paramarthikam satyam. Therefore, what is satyam, what is mithya? Advaitam satyam, dvaitam mithya. If you say there is no dvaitam at all, my God, why should we teach then? We should study. There is no dvaitam at all, there is no duality at all, there is no difference at all. Jiva Ishvara Bheda is not there at all. There is no Jagat Ishvara Bheda is not there at all. The Jiva Jiva Bheda is not there at all. Then you all don't need to eat afternoon, only I can eat. You all can go, you know, there's a Jiva Jiva Beda, Jiva Jagat Beda, Jagat Ishvara Beda, all this duality and divisions are very much there, but they're not absolutely there. all these differences are relatively real, empirically real. But what is absolutely real is what? Non-duality. So what is mithya, what is satyam? Isn't it? Vyavaharika satyam means mithya. Paramarthika satyam means satyam. So here, dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. Then, tesham ubhayata dvaitam. Is very important. For an advaiti, dvaitam is vyavaharika satyam. Advaitam is paramarthika satyam. You know, whereas for an advaiti, paramarthika satyam also is dvaitam. Vyavaharika satyam also is dvaitam. There is no mithya for him. Okay, everything is satyam. Ubhayata satyam means what now? Empirically also duality is real. Absolutely also duality is real. There is no non-duality for him. Ubhayata, rendu vidamagum. You know, relatively also he sees duality as reality. Absolutely also he sees duality as reality. Ubhayata satyam. Whereas on Advaiti, empirically duality is real. Duality is empirically real. Non-duality is absolutely real. But for an Advaiti, absolutely, relatively, duality is real. Duality is absolutely real, relatively also is real. Absolutely is also real. Which means there is no non-duality for him. Non-duality is not there in his vision, understanding. Okay. But even that is there, tena ayam na viruddhyate. But still, advaiti is not opposed, against the perception of duality. Advaiti is not against the acceptance of duality. Because advaiti, anything, suppose for example, I give here, how dvaitam is not, advaiti is not against dvaitam. Please understand. A dvaiti is against every other dvaiti. Now, vainavama saivama. Christianity or Islam, all this, everyone says mine is superior, mine is great. My God is superior and my deity is superior. You know, even as a child, when I was traveling all over, I used to go back to my village to pray to Krishna in my temple. You know, really, I remember it. Emotionally, we get entangled with the forms and things. Wherever I go, all over, so many temples are there. I had to go back to my own Venugopala Swami temple, my own village. You know why? Because from the childhood, every day going and worshipping and praying, you get so much, They also, some people say, our Perumal is more powerful than your Perumal. Even local Perumal temples, some people on next village, they'll say, our Perumal, there we have only more Perumal temples. In Coimbatore, a lot of Perumal temples. Now, Mahavishnu temples. Of course, we have big Shiva temple. To be frank, for a very long time, I was not introduced to Shiva temple. But even there's a Mangalahasam, the temple which had the greatness of being sung by great Nayanmars also, I was not taken to, because once you were raised in the tradition, you were stuck, you were kept only with what? Only Bhagavatam, only Ramayanam, only Krishna, only Mahavishnu. Now, exposures only that much. Childhood, only Krishna, Krishna. Now, when you talk, you don't know that other things. Even some Tamil literature, we study all Shiva and all that. And the villagers will say, my temple, Vishnu. The Murti, the Mahavishnu, in Srinivasa Perumal, in one village, is superior to the Krishna in another village. That sort of the emotional entanglement and attachment and divisions, the smallness, which means there is no wide vision, wide understanding, isn't it? It can lead to, I'm talking about one example, it can lead to, here also it can happen. Anywhere, once you are given to, you get, it's natural for us to get attached to forms, we worship, and the way of life we live, the culture, everything can get attached, isn't it? That's what here, all these differences are possible, the emotional problems are possible if we are given to the acceptance of Dvaitam as the fact. Which means, it's not that you are not asked not to accept Dvaitam, but you have to think and see, one has to think and see the fallacy in that acceptance of that fact. That's what he says. So, the Dvaitins, now all these differences are possible. Every Dvaiti, it will differ from every other Dvaiti, whereas an Advaiti can accommodate all the differences, all the views and all the contentions. Advaiti accepts duality. Which means what? Suppose there are so many disciplines we have. For example, the Veda Shastra itself prescribes so many disciplines. For example, performance of duties to live, that everybody does. But performance of fire rituals, a karma. Then worship, meditation. The worship, the puja, you know, the japaha. Different disciplines we have. Now, all these disciplines, if we ask, is it necessary or not? Because any practice, any discipline, any karma you have been following, everything is validated. Why? Because they all are very important. Dvaitam is important. Because one has to begin with the Dvaitam. One has to pray, one has to worship, one has to meditate, one has to do karma in order to prepare his mind for jnanam. As a preparatory means, the Advaiti sees the importance, the necessity and the value of, you know, the worship of the duality, therefore, an Advaiti is not against the Dvaitam duality, all the practices and disciplines. If you are given to the pursuit of knowledge, of vision of Advaita, now you have given to the fact of the vision of non-duality, and definitely you don't say it's all useless. Going to temples, useless. Performing rituals, useless. That is useless. This is useless. We should never say wrong. That is why it's very important for one to be exposed to the teaching. Systematic, traditional teaching is very important because you see the value of everything, the importance of everything, the necessity of everything, because the Dvaitam is important, the worship, prayer, karma, meditation, japaha, etc. All these disciplines and practices are important for one to prepare one's mind for jnanam. Knowledge of which jnanam? Knowledge of the non-duality of reality, and knowledge non-dual reality, have the vision of the non-dual reality, preparedness is required. For the preparedness, everything is important, isn't it? Even in another class I was saying how it is important for you, for what you need is, for moksha you need only jnanam. And jnanam alone, jnanam is what here? Jnanam has to resolve the ajnanam. For ajnanam to be resolved, for you to see the moksha which is already there, which need not be attained. It's already there. But you are not able to see the fullness, happiness, the freedom which is already there. It is covered by ajnanam. So you need to only undo, you need to only discover that, for which you have to remove the veiling of ajnanam. All that you need is jnanam alone. It is jnanam alone, isn't it? You don't need anything else. Therefore, but for that jnanam, you need the preparation is very important. Like how, when there is darkness, the darkness has to be dispelled, means all that you need is only the light. For the light, now, we need the flame for the flame to rise, you had to collect collection of the lamp, the oil, the wick, all of them are prerequisites. Na? They all are required. You had to collect them. But once you collected them, when the flame is raised, then the flame alone is enough for removal of darkness. Don't need all of them. But still, how can you say, how can you just raise the flame without oil, wick, everything? Similarly, here it's very important. The one who has the person who knows the value of having the flame, not to dispel the darkness, will not undervalue or will not say, no, oh, all these are unnecessary, unwanted. He will not say. They're all required. But when are they required? Until the flame is raised, they're all required. Otherwise, they're not required, isn't it? Therefore, here, Nadvaiti is not against any practice or discipline which involves, the duality, where Dvaitam is involved. Dvaitam is. So, Dvaitam is acceptable for an Advaiti. Because Dvaitam becomes validated, only in the light of Advaitam. That is what is said here in the verse. So, I am na viruddhyate. See, the one who is given to the vision of non-duality can accept the vision, understand the vision, enjoy the benefit of the vision of non-duality, at the same time, in the light of the vision of non-duality, can accommodate, validate, see the usefulness, is not against the Dvaita. Whereas once in Dvaita means you will be, which means an Advaita is free from the emotional turmoils and quarrels, okay? Don't need to be given to any, you don't need to argue, you will not go for argument and quarrels. That's what he says. I am na viruddhyate. Okay. Now, so having discussed the emotional problems, which will be the consequences of acceptance of Dvaitam as the fact, now he is going to tell how logical difficulty is involved in the acceptance of Dvaitam as a fact, duality as a fact. Mayaya vidyate hetat.
Mayaya vidyate hetat.
Anyatha jankatanchana.
Anyatha jankatanchana.
Tattvato vidyamanehi.
Tattvato vidyamanehi.
Martyatam amrutam vrajet.
Martyatam amrutam vrajet.
Okay. Mayaya bhityate. See, in this, what he wants to say here, this jagat again is not the creation, which is only a manifestation. If the jagat is only a manifestation, means Brahman is not the karanam. How do we say? How he takes the word, okay, what is the reality? This absolute reality or ultimate truth is implied by the term Brahma. Take the word Brahman. What does the word Brahman mean? Big. Brahman means big. If Brahman means big, great, then it implies what now? It implies something which is big. The Brahman implies something which is big. Big means it is how big, what is implied by the word Brahman? We had reality. Reality is big. That which is big is reality. Brahman, that which is big is reality. How big it is, if you ask, because it is comparable to anything else here, because you want to know, because this word, through implication, it wants you to arrive at the reality. Because reality happens to be the abstract vastu. it has to be understood only in terms of its nature. You are expected to arrive at the reality. You have to have the vision of the reality. And this reality is what? Not available for perception, not available for objectification. It is not even an object. It is not available for thought conception, not available for word description. How are you going to arrive at the reality? Just the word Brahma. Only one word. This word, if you have to see, this word defines the reality, implies the reality in terms of its nature. So you have to look for, search for that vastu which is of this nature to arrive at. So this, the word Brahman means, big means that which is incomparably, limitlessly big, means that which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. So Brahman is equal to limitlessness, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, or that which is of the nature of infinitude. Infinite is Brahman. Limitless is Brahman. Edu paramparuna. அறவரையறை அற்றது பரம்பொருள். லிமிட்லெஸ் இஸ் ரியாலிட்டி, இன்ஃபினிட் இஸ் ரியாலிட்டி. இஸ் எவ்ரிபடி அக்செப்ட்ஸ்? ஓகே, அத்வைத்தி அக்செப்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் அத்வைத்தி ஆல்சோ அக்செப்ட்ஸ். இன்ஃபினிட் இஸ் ரியாலிட்டி. தேங்க் காட் தே அக்செப்ட் திஸ். தே டோன்ட் சே இன்ஃபினிட். தே ஹேவ் டு சே, பிகாஸ் ஹவ் ஆர் யூ கோயிங் டு சே சுப்பீரியாரிட்டி ஆஃப் பிரம்மன் இஸ் அன் இன்ஃபினிட். சி ஹேட் அரைவ் அட் இட். யூ யூஸ் பரம்பொருள் இன் ஹிஸ் இன்ஃபினிட், is limitless, that everybody accepts, people of all schools of that accept. Absolute reality is infinite, limitless in nature. If it is infinite, now take the meaning of the word infinite or limitless. Infinite implies limitlessness. Infinitude is equal to limitlessness, means it is free from what? Time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. Leave the word object now. Let us take time, space, limitations are not there. So that which is free from time limitation, spatial limitation is reality. Okay? Okay, time limitation is not there means what? Anything which has time limitation has a beginning. And here, when you say reality is timeless, is of the nature of timelessness, limitlessness, infinite, the reality here cannot have beginning. If reality cannot have beginning, means what? It has no birth, it has no beginning. If it has no beginning, means it cannot have an end also. Therefore, beginningless and endless. It cannot be subject to change also. If okay, it cannot be subject to change, because change means again it is subject to beginning and an end. Beginning of one stage and then a beginning and ending of another stage, isn't it? The stage will come. So you cannot have change also. Therefore, because in the infinite, Brahman is infinite, therefore it has no beginning, can't have beginning, it can't have an end, can't have a change, therefore it cannot be the cause. Why? Because anything which is a cause is subject to change. A cause has to undergo a change in order to become an effect. You use the word infinite, okay? From there you're arriving at now. Infinite, Brahman is, reality is infinite. Infinite means cannot have beginning. Has no beginning means it has no end also, no change. Therefore, Brahman is of the nature of, reality is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, we say it cannot be the cause. Why it is not the cause? Because it is not object to change. Why it is not object to change? Because it has no beginning. If it has a beginning, means once a beginning is there, means it will have, it's subject to, we can remember all sixfold modifications. What are they? Asti. Asti, potential existence. Jayate, birth. Vardhate, growth. Viparinamate, metamorphosis. Viparinamate. Apakshiyate, decays. Then Nashyati dies, isn't it? This once beginning is there, then these sixfold modifications will be there. The reality is that which has no beginning at all. It can't have a beginning. Beginning means subject to change. Reality, because it is beginningless, it is changeless. Changeless, therefore it is not the cause. Got it? Why? Anything which is a cause has to undergo a change. Who is this? Who accepts this? Reality being infinite. Everybody accepts. Dvaiti accepts. Paramatma, you ask a Vaishnavite. Paramatma, infinite, all-pervasive. All-pervasive. Paramatma is all-pervasive. Vishnu, Sarvavyapi Vishnu. You can read the Vishnu Sahasrama interpretation. Okay, anybody will say Vishnu, Sarvam Vyapnoti iti Vishnu. All pervasiveness of the reality is accepted by a Vaishnavite, a Saivite, and all Dvaiti and Advaiti. All of them accept one fact of reality is all pervasive. Reality is infinite, means in time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Timelessness, spatial all-pervasiveness, accepted by everybody. You take that what they accept and logically make them see. Infinite means what? Timeless. Timeless means what? Beginningless. Beginningless implies what? Changelessness. Changelessness implies what? Not being the cause. If not the cause means, universe is not the effect. Universe is only manifestation, appearance. Okay? Then, is there a creation or not then? There's no creation. What is creation then? Yes. We say, if Brahman is the cause or not, the question comes, isn't it? It's only apparent. Is it? Brahman, the creation is only apparent creation. There is creation, only apparent creation. Seeming creation. There is only seeming dvaitam, seeming creation, apparent creation. Therefore, apparently, you can say what now? The causal state is only apparent, it is not absolute. That is what he wants to say in this verse. Is it clear? You have to remember this, how logically he has to establish this. All these verses he is going to talk about, say, this is what he is going to establish in all his following verses. Mayaya bhidyate hetat.
Mayaya bhidyate hetat.
So, yetad, yetad Brahma. Yetad means, yetad Brahma, this is the absolute reality actually, which obtains as the very, the consciousness, the very self, is what achetade. Mayaya bidyate. Now, bidyate means what now? Appears to be divided. Now, is divided, not really. Mayaya. Apparently, relatively. Maya here is relatively, apparently, not really. That's the meaning. Mayaya bidyate. Yetad. This entire universe you see is only what? Yetad Jagat is Brahma. Yetad Jagat, which seems to be divided, which seems to be, dual. Now, the duality which you perceive, the universe of plurality and duality, is nothing but apparent creation. That is a real creation, is not there. Anyatha na yetat na anyatha ajam kathanchana. How do you think there will there be creation? Is there a creation? Yes. Is a creation really real creation? No, apparent. Isn't it? It's apparent. As though there is creation. It's not real creation. Is a real ocean? If we say apparent. Similarly here, the whole jagat is only apparent, not real. Anyatha ajam. There is no other way of duality being there, creation being there. Ajam. Okay, ajam means uncreated. Ajam. Kathanchana. There's no way. Can you say some other way? Is there any other way of seeing this creation? No. Anyatha, na kathanchana, no way, no other way, that there is this creation which is real. It's only apparent. Only apparent. So, tattvataha vidyamanehi, suppose if you say this creation is real, it's only mayaya. The creation is apparent creation, seeming creation. That's what he wants to say here. Mayaya vidyate. Vidyate means what now? Etad universe. This universe, which seems to be divided, which seems to be the plural world, the universe of plurality and duality. One reality appears as many, innumerably countless, no? Countless appears as many means, is divisions, differences, actually only mayaya. It only relatively, apparently, it is there. Really, absolutely, there is no creation. The first line states this fact. Absolutely, there is no creation. Empirically, no, relatively, then there is apparent creation. We can't say there is no creation at all, you can't say. There is an apparent seeming creation. Suppose if you say the creation is absolutely real. There is creation. It is not apparent. If it is real, if you say, then what he says, tattvataha vidyamane. If you think this reality is, this divisions and duality real, then tattvataha martyatam amritam vrajet. Amrita means the immortal Brahman. Timeless reality. Amritam here is what? No, timeless reality. Timeless means what? Immortal. Immortal means what? Beginningless, endless, changeless. Immortal means beginningless, timeless, timeless. Timeless means what? Beginningless, endless, changeless. This reality would have become what now? Mritam, dead. How can you say immortal Brahman dies? Can you say that? Immortal Brahman dies means what? It's like when you all laugh at now, what I say. Immortal Amritam Mritam Vrajet. Amritam Brahma, immortal reality, timeless reality, beginningless, endless, changeless reality, eternal reality, Martyatam Vrajet, becomes what? Attains the status of being a mortal. Martyatam Vrajet, Kalavarayaretra Parambarul, Alivane Udayadaha Aham. If you say reality is real, the creation is real, it is not seeming creation, it is not apparent creation, then the reality becomes what? Reality becomes the immortal reality, timeless reality becomes time-bound mortal. It's like what Shankara gives in his Bhashyam, he says, it's like saying, Yatha agnihi sheetatam vrajati. It's like saying the fire has become cold fire. How can fire become cold? It's like sheetatam. Now the fire was hot once upon a time. Then fire has undergone a change. it has become cold fire. Sheetatam vrajet. Agnihi sheetatam kadapi vrajetva. Sheetatam. Sheetatam sanna chillness. Can fire ever become cold? No. Why? Intrinsic. Heat, being hot, is the intrinsic nature. Intrinsic nature is what? That which is unchangeable. That which does not change at all is called intrinsic, permanent. And what is permanent is intrinsic. Intrinsic is what we say? This Swarupam. Swarupam. So, just as the heat is intrinsic, unchangeable, unchanging, permanent Swarupam of the fire, timelessness, limitlessness, beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, immortality is what now? The very Swarupam of the reality, Brahman. That is why the word Brahman itself implies what? Reality is implied by the term infinite. What is reality? Vidu paramparulna. Infinite is reality. Infinite means what? You are accepting the timelessness. You are accepting the changelessness. Isn't it? And how can you say reality, the whole Jagat is creation? When you say, if you say, look at this. If you say Jagat is creation, we can say yes. But creation is not real creation, apparent creation, seeming creation. It is seeming, the seeming creation is what now? Because of Maya. But not what Maya means, what? Seeming creation is what now? Maya itself means what? So it's only seeming creation. There is no real creation. If you say there is a creation is real, then the logical problem comes. What is the logical problem here? You have to say, you also say reality is infinite, and you also say that creation is real. This is the logical difficult problem. You can't say both. You can't, no? If you have to say, you can't say reality is infinite, then you can't say creation is real. If you say reality is infinite, then you're accepting the timelessness. You're accepting limitlessness, which means reality cannot be the cause. If reality is not the cause, the universe is only a manifestation, not the creation. You got the point what I'm saying? Not the? You have to understand that, the logic you have to understand. Because it is not the cause. It cannot be the cause. It is not the cause means, then what is the connection between the universe and the reality? The universe is only appearance, seeming. You know, this is the appearance, the seeming, the apparent appearance of the reality. Universe is appearance of the reality. That is what he wants to say. If you say creation is real, then you are going to this problem. You are converting. It's like saying fire has become cold fire. Similarly, Amritam Brahma Martyatam Vrajet. Listen, timeless reality becomes what now? Time bound mortal. This is showing, holding on to their own view of Paramatma. Nobody can say Paramatma is finite. Do you think any? Because infinite, they have the respect for Paramatma. They bow to Paramatma. They worship Paramatma. They seek help from Paramatma. Emotionally holding on to Paramatma because of the fact that Paramatma is infallible. Why it is infallible? Appa, Paramatma is free from all limitations. I am a limited individual. Paramatma is limitless reality, limitless, infinite. Therefore, I need the support of infinite, limitless reality, superior being. Why superior? How superior Paramatma is? How you are inferior? You are inferior because you think you are a mortal. Paramatma is superior because Paramatma is not a mortal, inferior. Adi mantam illadan, These are all those things. That is why you, suppose we do not trust each other. Why? Because you see other person being as fallible as you are. That is when some difficulty comes. Do you go to some local rich person, local other person? When difficulty is comes in life, some emotional problems come, what do we do? Do we go into other people? My difficulties are there. For us, counseling center is temple. Or go to puja room, or go to temple and go and talk to Bhagavan and pray and cry and weep, or you do anything, and sometimes you do something. Why do we go to Bhagavan? Kadavule kapat. Any difficulty comes, even English word, oh Lord. Any emotionally you go through problem, you call the word Lord, God, Paramatma, Bhagavane, Murga, Krishna, Kapat. We immediately do pray desperately because we in our buddhi, whether we think or not, without thinking also, we are so clear Paramatma is the only person who can protect me now. Why I have so much of faith in Paramatma? Because I believe Paramatma is infinite, all-pervasive, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervasive, infinite means I do accept the timelessness of Paramatma, beginninglessness of Paramatma, changelessness of Paramatma, all-pervasiveness of Paramatma. If all-pervasive means, and how can Paramatma be sitting elsewhere different from me? You can't locate all-pervasive. Lord cannot be located in heaven or hell or any one given place. Swamiji says, now this is call. Calls to different people, different uncles and aunts all over the world. Also, this is a call, direct dial to Bhagavan also. Bhagavan also should have all the address. And Swamiji's thesis, the saying is, he'll also have email ID and all that. Why? Because there's no address means all pervasive Lord cannot have a location. And timeless Lord cannot undergo change. Therefore cannot be the cause. Therefore this universe is not the product of effect of the cause Paramatma. It's only appearance of Paramatma. There is no real creation, there is only apparent creation. This is what is established. The logical problem involved in Dvaitam is brought to your understanding in this verse. Okay? Mayaya vidyate yetat.
Mayaya vidyate yetat.
Anyathajam kathanchana.
Anyathajam kathanchana.
Anyatha, otherwise, ajam, unborn, timeless. Kathanchana, in any way, reality is beginningless, birthless, unborn, uncreated, timeless. Understand? Infinite, timeless. Therefore, it is not the cause. Because why do you say, why to talk about the birth? Birth implies, if you say beginning is there means reality itself is infinite, it has no beginning means, it implies it's the birthlessness implies reality being free from all the modifications. And one of the modifications is what? Change. Vardhanam. All change, isn't it? Change. Every modification implies what? The change. So, birthlessness, beginninglessness implies changelessness. Okay? Changelessness implies not being the cause. Not being the cause implies Jagat being not the creation. Jagat being not the creation means it's only appearance. Therefore, the manifestation is only apparent creation. Hold on to the fact accepted by Advaiti and make him understand there is no creation. Should I break? It's okay, just have quickly tea and come.